Once again to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5. We continue this wonderful study. Acts chapter 5. We'll begin reading with the 16th verse. We really got down through 16 to 17. But please just listen very carefully as we read this precious word. Acts chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, brought them forth, and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." And now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. We're going to end with that verse 33, and we may get on into the rest of the scripture there, but let's end the reading there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come into your house and sing these beautiful hymns and bring our tithes and offerings unto you, that you can use them to your honor and glory, and that we can come now and read your precious word and this wonderful story, this wonderful message, your truth here that comes to us through your precious word. Just guide and lead us through those words. Help us to see, Father, that the tremendous need of salvation, everyone needs to be born again. We need to be saved. Please, Lord, today, bring anyone here that has not come to your cross and accepted you as their Savior, that they would do so today and begin that wonderful personal relationship with you. So please, today, be that day. Today is the day of salvation. And just take us then and grow us each and every day in your precious word. Please guide and lead today now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As last week, we begin to talk about the activities and the things that were going on. And we had the Ananias and Sapphira, as they have lied, bringing their sale of their property, thinking it would build them up in some way or give them some powerful position of some sort or another. And then we found that the apostles were given, as we have been talking about in the Sunday school class as we go through the Constitution, talking about how that the sign gifts and those the opportunity of healing and things of that was the power of the Holy Spirit, not a power that was given to an individual man. But when God would choose to heal, He would heal. And God can do the same thing today. But that power is not given unto a man. And the purpose of these gifts that were given here was to show that without question, they were doing things that no man could do. This is without question the Lord Jesus Christ, His word, His salvation. He is God and it's sent from God. And so they were doing these great miracles, many, and the scripture, the reason I want to read verse 16 is because all that were brought into Him were healed. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, chose that day to heal everyone that come into their presence, everyone. There was no one could question that this was of God and from God. Well, as we talked last week, this had been taking place on Solomon's porch. And so as folks would pass through and they would go up to the temple, they were looking at what was going on. And the scripture tells us that the people magnified them. They did not join them, but they did not condemn or criticize what they were doing. But instead of coming by faith to the Lord Jesus and joining them, they went right back up to the temple with their offerings and their sacrifices and all the things that they were to do as they always had done, and was ignoring the opportunity of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So as this was all taking place, we have another group, not only the group that passed and went into the temple courtyard to bring their offerings and sacrifices, but we also have another group, and that was the religious group. We have the high priest, and we have the Sadducees, and they were watching this as it was going on from their little high tower, so to speak. They were watching this activity. And the longer it went on, the madder they got. And the scripture says, in indignation, they were wrought. They were in the wrath was coming out of them. They were so angry at what was going on. Well, why were they mad at what was going on? It's because no one was watching them. No one was paying attention to them. They were beginning to follow, according to the high priest and the Sadducees, another religion. And that's the way they looked at it. There was another religion out there that was taking hold, and they wanted to stop it. And if you'll notice over in verse 24 that we read this morning, it says, whereunto this would grow. They wanted it to stop growing, and they had to stop it, and they didn't know how to stop it. And they decided, amongst themselves, they decided that they were going to throw them in prison, in jail, and then they would call the council together. And so that's what they did. So in verse 17 here, the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation. In verse 18, laid their hands on the apostles, all of them, not just Peter and John, not just Peter. In many times through the scriptures, Paul and Silas, it's just a couple of them. Here, it's all the apostles. They gathered them all up, and they put them in this holding place here, so to speak. And it's called a hold or a ward, a holding place. And so that's where they put them. Now, immediately we come up with something that's wonderful here, and this is how God's God works. You see, he was not finished with these apostles in giving out the word of God. And so we find that almost immediately it would appear that that same night, that an angel of the Lord, verse 19, by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. And so the apostles were put in this hold. There was, we know, according to the scriptures that we're going to read in a few minutes, or have read, that there was officers tending to the doors, and they were locked inside. Undoubtedly, there was no little window to see inside because no one knew they were gone. And so we find that the angel of the Lord came that night. He didn't just make them vanish and then reappear someplace else. He opened the door. They walked out. And when he got them out, he gave them some directions. And he said to them in verse 20, go and hide because they're going to arrest you again. Isn't that what the angel of the Lord's instructions? I'm not going to do this for you again. I'm not going to come and get you out of jail. I hope none of you have ever been in that situation that you've had to wait for somebody to come and get you out of jail. I hope that's never happened. But if it has, you'd be relieved when someone would come and the jailer would come and unlock the door and let you out. Well, this is a much different situation here because the angel of the Lord came and opened the door and let them out, unknown to anybody. And then he gives them some very strange directions. I want you to go right back to where you were preaching and keep preaching. Go back to the temple, go back to Solomon's porch, and continue what you were saying before. That's what I want you to do. And that wonderful words of life there that we have. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. When you put those words, the words of this life is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Again, in Sunday school this morning, we repeatedly went over and over again. When you find someone that is teaching or believing in some false doctrine, why, please don't argue with them about that doctrine. Bring them to Jesus. Here they weren't to arm themselves and this time when they come, you'll be ready. No. The angel of the Lord said, I want you to go. I want you to stand right where you were standing, and I want you to continue to preach the word that you were preaching before, and that's all about the Lord Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's what I want you to do. And so that's what we have now. We've got them in Solomon's porch preaching the word of God, fellowshipping together. And the high priest and the Sadducees, they would see what was going on. They were watching. And the longer they performed and the longer they proclaimed this precious word, the madder they got. Instead of repenting and realizing, wait a minute, that's the word that I've studied. That word is true. I need to follow them. Instead of that, and you'll find today it's the same way. Because when you find a cult or someone that's out there, and there are many, many antichrists and many false teachers, they do not want to hear the word of God. They want to follow through with what they are doing. And again, you can always follow the money. You follow the money. That's where a good preacher has went bad many times because the leadership of the church said, you stop preaching that way or we'll stop giving our money. Well, in so many times, a good preacher turns because he's got to feed his family. He's got to support him. And so he does not preach knowing that he'll be thrown out of that church without a job. Then what does he do? So, okay, I'm going to compromise just a little bit. No, We're to never compromise. We're to stand upon the Word of God, whatever the cost might be. And so here, this indignation, this jealousy that had taken over these people. So they arrested them and they put them in the prison. Well, God said, I'm not done with you. So the angel of the Lord brought them out. Go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Go right back to preaching. So that's what they did. And so, verse 21, when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Did exactly what the angel of the Lord told them to do. They went right back in and they just kept right on preaching. And I'm sure with watching this angel of the Lord come and this miracle being performed to deliver them out of prison, they would come with excitement and with joy to go back to preaching the Word of God. And so they went. And so they headed right back, stood in this Solomon's porch, and continued to preach and to teach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, there's something here that takes place. Now, too often you have verses, they've put the numbers in the wrong place. I think they probably should have put another verse here, because we change their teaching in Solomon's temple. Now we go back to the high priest, because they're calling the council. It's morning now. It tells us that they were told that night, but early in the morning they went to the temple and began to teach. Well, early in the morning, some other little location was very close by, I believe. And I'm always been amazed that they didn't know something was going on. But instead of knowing that was going on, well, they were so concentrated on gathering all their folks together. Now, this time, it's kind of called the small Sanhedrin, and the great Sanhedrin. There's kind of, it's the same people, the small Sanhedrin and the great Sanhedrin. The small are a part of it. But when they really have something big and something serious to talk about, they call the great Sanhedrin together. And that is when we see the word the Senate there in the rest of this verse. The high priest came, and they that were with them. Now, we have that back in chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and many that were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together. I think all those folks are here. And so they're all present, plus called the council together, and all the Senate of the children of Israel. Now, I believe this Senate is that great Sanhedrin, and that's an additional 71 elders. So they have everybody here today at this council. They've called everybody together. Now, what's the next thing that they're going to do? They're going to conduct business. Well, what's the item of business that's on the agenda today? You know, I've always followed parliamentary procedure, and so you always have you have your agenda, and then you follow your agenda, and you have items of business that you need to take care of. Well, there was one main item of business, and it may have been the only item of business that day. What are we going to do with this religion? Because they're really, really upsetting everybody. Wasn't upsetting anybody except for the religious group. The people loved it. The people that were hanging on to their old religion didn't mind it. It was the religious leaders that had the problem. And so they called the whole council together. And after they'd called the whole council together, then they sent for the prison to the prison to have the prisoners brought to them in end of verse 21. And so now we have the council, and it's time for the guards to go get the the prisoners. And so the officers went, and it's believed that these were literally military, possibly Levitical guards. They went to the holding place to get the prisoners out. Well, they found something of a surprise, because when they got to the prison, they found the doors ajarred and the guards were dead and everything was out of kilter, wasn't it? No, when they got there, there stood the guard in front of the door. The door was locked. And so they opened the door to bring the prisoners out, to bring them to the big meeting of all these religious folks. And they weren't there. All the apostles were gone. And again, it's always amazed me that as close as I'm sure this all took place, that somebody else didn't come a little earlier and say, the prisoners have escaped. But that statement wasn't given to us at all in the Word, because they went to get them, they weren't there. Here's verse 23. The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple, and this would probably be just an officer that takes care of the protecting the priests, the high priest, and the temple itself, the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Do you see that there are so many miracles, and there has been such a presence of the Spirit of God going through this city, that they didn't go to the guard and say, did you let him out? They didn't question how they escaped. They said, how are we going to stop this thing? We can't even hold them in prison today. How are we going to stop them from this religion that they have? Well, the difference was, it wasn't a religion. It was a relationship. It was a relationship that they had with Jesus Christ, because he had died on the cross and saved them and set them free, and the Spirit of God was living within their heart. That's what they had. That's what all believers had at this time, and we still have it today. What a joy. What a joy to walk with the Lord Jesus. But they, how are we going to stop this? And about that time, then came one that told them, behold, the man whom ye put in prison, the men who you'd put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Once again, there's no statement about how they got out. Knowing it was a miracle, I believe that the religious rulers of the day did not want one single thing to get out, that they've escaped miraculously out of our prison. Because what would that do? That calls more followers to follow them. So they didn't even lift up the question of how they got out. That wasn't dealt with at all. Now he sends, as the scripture says here, he sent the captain, the officers, out to get them. And so they brought them in without violence. Because you see, by that time they had collected quite a crowd again, and they feared the people lest they should be stoned. Not the apostles, but the guards and these religious folks, because the uprising of the power of God and the joy of salvation that was coming into these people, you're not going to take our teachers away from us. So they did it very kindly and very nicely, and they brought it back into the council. And so now, finally, they have these prisoners that has escaped back to the council. And verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest, being the chairman, so to speak, asked them a question, and more of a statement did we not tell you, straitly command you, that she should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, or you could use teaching there, with your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Here's the whole council. Here's the apostles. They've been put in jail. They've been taken out of jail. They was back to preaching, and now they're back in the council, or into the council now, before all the council. The judgment's going to be passed upon them. And they're told that you were not to preach that name, not to teach that name. And what was his concern? That you're going to bring this man's blood upon us. I hate to tell this man, but his blood is already on him. They were the ones responsible for having the Lord Jesus arrested, for having Jesus hanged on the tree. And look at what Peter says, and to the and the other apostles there, whether there was one voice or they were all in agreement, answered, "We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on the tree." Peter didn't mince any words. You're the one that has murdered our Savior. You're the one that nailed him to the tree. Now, look at the rest of the words, though. He didn't leave that as a condemnation. He looked in verse 31. "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." And we're a witness to that. And so you see, the gospel was presented. As we are always, even though he was standing before the very rulers that had Jesus arrested and had Jesus taken to the cross and crucified, that very, very same people Peter gave the gospel to. He is here as your Savior. He is to be your Savior if you'll just repent and come. "We are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey." Anyone that comes by faith to Jesus receives the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful, wonderful gift. And when they'd heard that, they were cut to the heart. Now, we have pricked in the heart. And those words back in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. You know, this isn't the first time the Holy Spirit's touched the heart. Back in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Now let's see what the response was with these religious rulers. They were cut in the heart and took counsel to slay them. Same word was preached, same word was heard, and yet these religious rulers and the religious leaders have no desire to accept by faith Jesus Christ. And so we have such a wonderful message here of them listening to the angel of the Lord tell them, "You go forth and you go back to teaching." And they went right back to it. But the concern of the Sadducees and this Senate, this council of religious folks, of the highest religious folks. And, you know, we have it today because many times, as we said, you can kind of follow the money. Because I think you would find that these religious folks, these 71 elders, were probably very wealthy. And they had much power. And so they brought everybody in and they were going to come. So not only the high priest have his power and authority, but also the Senate, as they would come forth with their great power and strength. And yet these men, these apostles, did not bow down to them. They made it very clear. Peter said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Now there's a situation that we have not had much conflict in this country until the last few years. In the last few years, we have come now to have a conflict between the laws of the land and the leadership of the land and the Word of God. So what are you going to follow? Which one are we going to choose? These apostles chose to follow the Word of God, and they went right back in and began to teach. Now, the problem is that here now, instead of being pricked in their heart and falling on their face and asking Jesus to save them, instead of that, they got their heads together and says, "We've got to kill these people." Boy, that's a joy, isn't it? Sounds like some things that's going on in the Middle East, doesn't it? You either bow down to me or we're going to put you to death. You're causing way too much problems. Well, the next section here, and it involves a great teacher of Paul, the Apostle Paul, Gamaliel. And he was the greatest of teachers. And if you could sit under him as a Jew, you couldn't have any greater teaching. And so him being present with this, remember I said about the Senate and the 71 elders that come? I believe he's one of them. And I think everybody kind of looked to him. And he makes some suggestions here. And these suggestions, let's let it go. If it's of God, it'll grow. If it isn't, it won't. So let's just let it go. And that's what he suggested here. I'll read a few verses of Scripture, and we're out of time as always, and we'll kind of pick up here. But that was his suggestion. And so then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Let's give them a little room. "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, in whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this, a man rose up, Judas of Galilee, in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispensed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily be found even to fight against God." It sounded like a pretty wise man, didn't it? And to him they agreed. And they called the apostles in. They said, "We're not going to bother you anymore. We're just going to let you go because we know this is just another religion and it'll fall just like all the rest of them." That was their hope. And it's something when they even take leadership from Gamaliel, what'd they do to them? They beat them. They beat them. Yeah. "You're doing nothing wrong. I'm going to beat you, and then I'll turn you loose. Yeah. I can't find a single law you broke. I'm going to beat you, and then we'll turn you loose." And that's the joy of this wonderful, loving, religious group of the Jews, the high priest, the elders, and the council. And so they agreed. They beat them, And they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. This is one of the first times that they have listed the name of Jesus. They usually say, in that name. You see, they can't say it. But here they listed the name. They let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, crying and weeping and just crawling out of there. What'd they do? They left there rejoicing, and they counted worthy to suffer shame for his name's sake. And in the temple, daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. What wonderful words. What wonderful words. The day in the life of an apostle. Put in prison, let out of prison, told not to preach, preached, put back in prison, told not to preach the gospel, dismissed, beaten, went back to preaching the gospel. The life of an apostle. What a joy to watch the power of God. Chapter 6 next week, we're going to get into a man named Stephen here before long. What a message. Let's close in prayer. Father, to come together and to see how that through all of time, there's always been a group, a religious group, stands behind the name of God, and yet stands opposing your Son, the Lord Jesus, opposing Him being crucified, not believing that He is God, just believing that He's another man that came to earth. But Father, we know He's God. And we know He came to this earth for one purpose, and then to seek and to save those that are lost. And He did just that upon the cross of Calvary. Took our sins away and then was raised out of that grave. And we had the wonderful hope of our bodily resurrection as well. Give us life. Give us life. What a joy to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Give us the strength and wisdom if we need to face this kind of persecution, that when we're beaten or persecuted in some way, that we do it with a smile on our face and joy in our heart, because we are worthy to be persecuted for His name's sake, for the name of Jesus. Now please, speak to our hearts. Bring those that are lost. Don't let them leave today without coming by faith to You, please. What a joy to be a believer today. And walk with You, seeing and witnessing Your power through Your wonderful word here and in our lives each and every day. And I pray this in Jesus' name.